As I get started this morning, I want to give a little caveat to my sermon. I know occasionally I might preach something and you may think to yourself that this doesn't apply to me. Well, today I want to tell you that I am preaching directly to each and every one of us today. This sermon applies to us all. Amen? And yes, this sermon may step on your toes this morning, and that's okay. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, through you, and convict you if necessary. But this is the message that the Lord has laid on my heart for the church this morning. And so the title of my sermon this morning is The Fear of the Lord, A Forgotten Foundation. Today we are confronting a truth that has been neglected, dismissed, and even mocked, not just by the world, but within the very walls of the church. It is a truth that once shaped nations, a truth that once defined righteousness, and it is a truth that upheld the faith of our forefathers. But now this truth, it has been cast aside. It has been watered down, and sometimes this truth is wholly ignored. And the truth is that the church, the body of Christ, has lost the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 declares, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and destruction." So I want you to let that verse sink in. Without the fear of the Lord, we're not even starting at the starting line of true wisdom, amen? You're spiritually bankrupt, stumbling in darkness, deceived by a shallow faith that knows nothing of God's holiness. We live in an era that treat God as a casual acquaintance rather than the Almighty King, where our reverence is traded for entertainment and our conviction is silenced in the name of comfort. But God has not changed. His holiness has not changed and His word has not changed. Amen? So today, we're not just talking about the fear of the Lord. We are calling the church to return to it. Psalm 96:9 tells us this, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth." Church, it is time for us to realign our hearts, to tremble before the majesty of God, not out of dread, but out of a deep awe and reverence and love. So are you ready for God to open your eyes? Are you willing to let the fear of the Lord transform you? And if so, then let us seek Him together with humbled and surrendered hearts. Amen? When we hear the phrase, the fear of the Lord, many misunderstand it as a sense of terror, an instinct to flee God in dread, as if He were a threat to our well-being. And this misconception arises from that word fear, which often carries connotations of anxiety, panic, and flight. However, the biblical concept of fear is far more profound and beautiful than such a reaction. See, it's not about running away from God, but rather it's about running toward Him in reverence and obedience. It is a deep, heartfelt response to His holiness, His majesty, and His justice. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1 says this, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgment, and His commandments always." But for the unbeliever, the fear of God takes on a sobering and necessary meaning. It is the fear of judgment, a recognition of God's ultimate authority over life and death, and the very real consequence of eternal separation from Him. This is not a mere abstract fear, but recognition that without Christ, one is subject to the wrath of a holy God. Jesus himself addresses this kind of fear in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." Here Jesus, he makes it clear that the fear we should have is not directed toward those who can harm us here on earth, but towards God, who holds our eternal destiny in the palm of his hand. Because God's judgment is final. And it is not a fear to be taken lightly. And so this fear compels the unbeliever to understand the weight of their sin and their need for salvation in Christ. And similarly, Hebrews chapter 10, 31 affirms the gravity of this fear for those who reject God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. In this passage, it paints a vivid picture of the terrifying reality of facing God's judgment. It reminds us that God is not only loving and merciful, but he is also righteous and just. For the one who persists in rebellion, falling into the hands of the living God is a sobering reality. A reality that no one can escape without Christ. However, for the believer, the fear of the Lord takes on an entirely different character. It's no longer the fear of judgment, but a fear of reverence. A deep, abiding awe that comes from recognizing God's greatness, His holiness, and His goodness. And this is not the fear that drives us away from God, but it is a fear that draws us closer to Him, urging us to worship Him with sincerity and devotion. Amen? Y'all getting awfully quiet. As Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29 beautifully express, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." The believer's fear of God is one of reverence, rooted in the understanding that God is not only powerful, but also deeply holy and worthy of all our honor. This consuming fire mentioned in Hebrews 12, 29 highlights the idea that God is both a purifier and a protector. He consumes all that is unholy and He refines all that is His. And this fear of God is not one of dread, but one of deep respect for His perfection and His majesty. And the fear of the Lord for the Christian is a posture of our hearts. It is a recognition of who God truly is, infinitely powerful, supremely holy, perfectly just, and immeasurably loving. It is a reverence that leads to awe, and an awe that leads to worship. It moves us to surrender our lives fully to the Creator of the universe, acknowledging that His ways are higher than ours, and that His understanding is beyond our comprehension, and His justice is always right. Amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 9 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. As Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of The Holy One is understanding. This kind of fear is the key to true wisdom because it aligns our hearts and our minds to God's will. And that leads us into living life obediently to Him. It is the key to true worship. For we cannot be, truly worship God without understanding His greatness and our need to honor Him in all that we do. The fear of the Lord is a mark of a life that belongs to Him. It is the evidence of a heart that has been transformed by the gospel, a heart that no longer seeks to live in rebellion, but desires to live in the light of God's holiness. It is the sign of a disciple who submits to God's authority, trusting that He is good and that His plans for us are perfect. So what does the fear of the Lord look like in practice? How do we manifest it in our daily lives, in our worship, and in our obedience? For you see, the fear of the Lord is more than just a theological concept. It is a transformative reality that reshapes how we approach God, how we interact with this world, and how we live our lives in relation to His holiness. The fear of the Lord leads us into recognizing God's infinite power and holiness. The fear of God begins with profound reverence and awe, a recognition of God's infinite power, holiness, and majesty. To fear God is to stand in awe of His greatness, to be overwhelmed by His majesty and His absolute authority. It is the deep awareness that God is not like us. Amen? Because God, He is exalted. He is eternal. He is all-powerful. And He is perfectly holy. He is beyond our comprehension. And yet He draws near to us in love and mercy. And this awareness of who God is should move us to respond to Him with all respect and honor that He deserves. Psalm 33:8 declares, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." When we truly begin to grasp who God is, it changes everything. It changes how we pray, how we worship, and how we live our lives. It isn't a simple passing acknowledgement of God's greatness. It is an active, heartfelt response that shapes our entire being. We no longer approach God casually or treat His commands lightly. Instead, we approach Him in awe and reverence and a deep sense of His holiness, just as the prophet Habakkuk did when he encountered the presence of the Lord. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, "O Lord, I have heard Your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive Your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." And in a similar vein, when the prophet Isaiah encountered God's glory, he was undone by the realization of his own sinfulness in the presence of such holiness. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, and Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The fear of the Lord isn't just an abstract idea. It is a personal encounter with the living God. And we, like Isaiah, find ourselves living amongst people of unclean lips. And yet we barely notice foul language that is spoken around us each and every day. James chapter 3, verse 10 tells us, "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Church, when was the last time you trembled at the thought of standing before a holy God? Do you really realize or do you understand that one day each and every one of us will stand in His presence face to face with our Creator? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." If we know that we will be judged by the Almighty one day, why do we approach Him with such casual indifference? When was the last time His presence left you in awe? When was the last time that you were overwhelmed by His majesty and His holiness? If we have lost that reverence, then we have lost the very heart of worship. So today, let us return to a posture of holy fear, wonder, and adoration before the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. See, true worship comes from a heart that recognizes the weight of God's glory and humbly submits to it. True fear of God leads to submission. The fear of the Lord is not merely an intellectual acknowledgement of God's greatness. The fear of the Lord is a call to obedience. If we claim to fear God and we disregard His commandments, then our so-called fear is nothing more than empty words. True fear of the Lord leads to surrendered obedience. And this is not optional, but it is essential in the life of the believer. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 pose a powerful question. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I commanded you today for your good." You see, obedience is the natural outflow of the heart that fears God. And Jesus Himself affirms this truth in John chapter 14, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." See, the true fear of God, it's not about external ritual or simply following rules. It is about aligning our hearts to God's will. We don't get to pick and choose which parts of the Word that we obey. Amen? Instead, we humbly submit ourselves to God's full authority. And this submission is not burdensome, but an act of love and worship. It is a response to the grace that we've received, and it demonstrates our reverence for His holiness. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14 reminds us, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." And this reminds us that the fear of the Lord extends beyond what is seen by others. It affects even our private lives, our thoughts, and our motivations. See, we live in light of His judgment and we obey His commands not because we fear punishment, but because we love Him and desire to honor Him in all things. Church, our greatest fear should be disappointing the Lord. Amen? I'll repeat that. Our greatest fear should be disappointing the Lord. Amen? See, it's not enough to simply avoid wrongdoing. We must actively do what we are commanded to do. And so the fear of the Lord drives us to reject sin. A genuine fear of God creates an intolerance for sin. It's not enough to simply avoid wrongdoing. We must actively hate what is evil because God Himself hates it. Sin is not just something we avoid. It is something we detest with the same passion that God does. Amen?
Amen.
And this hatred of evil is not rooted in legalism, but in a deep love for God and for His holiness. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 declares, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. And Psalm 97:10 reinforces this by commanding, "You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked." This active rejection of sin is not just about moral behavior, but aligning our heart with God's righteousness. And Romans chapter 12, verse 9 commands, "Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to what is good." And then 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." A church that fears the Lord does not tolerate sin. It cleanses itself from all unrighteousness, striving to live holy lives in reverence to the God who is a consuming fire. So why has the fear of the Lord disappeared? If the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom, worship, and holiness, then why is it so absent in today's church? Why do we see so little reverence for God and so much compromise? See, too many churches have replaced the true gospel with the feel-good gospel. A message that comforts but does not convict, and sermons that entertain rather than transform. And the result of doing such is devastating. Without the fear of God, sin is trivialized. When people stop fearing God, they stop taking sin seriously. Sin is no longer something to be repented of, but something to be excused, justified, and even celebrated. We love to celebrate babies, amen? But do we ever confront parents that have children outside of wedlock because of their sinfulness? We don't. See, Scripture warns us about this dangerous mindset. In Romans chapter 3, verse 18, it states, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." And Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 gives this chilling warning. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Woe indeed, church. Without the fear of the Lord, holiness is compromised and sin runs rampant. The church begins to conform to the world rather than to stand against it. And a lack of fear of God leads to shallow, self-centered worship. Instead of coming to church to glorify God, people come to be entertained. Instead of seeking conviction, they seek comfort. They seek acceptance and blessings for their sinfulness. But God is not interested in lip service. He desires honor and reverence. And church, He is worthy of our honor and reverence. Amen? Amen? Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence?" The church is not a religious social club, and worship is not a performance. And if we do not come before God with reverence, we are no different from the world. Without the fear of the Lord, people live however they please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." A life without fear of God is a life without accountability. People begin to believe that they can live however they want with no consequences. But the scripture makes it clear that this isn't the truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13b instructs us, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. And then Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 warns, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Church, God is not to be taken lightly. His grace is abundant, but it is not a license to sin. His love is unfailing, but it does not cancel out his justice. He will hold us accountable. And so the church must wake up. See, the fear of the Lord is not optional, it is essential. It is the beginning of wisdom, the foundation of obedience, and the mark of true faith. So I ask you today, do you fear the Lord as you should? Does your life reflect true reverence for Him? Is there a sin that you have tolerated that must be removed? Church, let us return to holy fear of the Lord. Not out of terror, but out of awe and love for the one who is worthy of all honor, obedience, and worship. It is time to bow before Him in reverence. It is time to hate what He hates and to love what He loves. It is time to fear the Lord once again. And the fear of the Lord is not only the source of wisdom, but it is also a shield of divine protection. Psalm 34:7 declares, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, we walk under His divine covering. This doesn't mean we will never face trials or difficulties, but it does mean that God Himself will be our defender. And who can stand against those who walk in the fear of the Almighty? Church, we are not left alone to face life's battles alone. Because God, He is our refuge, He is our strength, and He is a very present help in times of trouble. And Proverbs 19:23 reinforces this promise. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. And while we face many challenges, we can trust in God's protective hand surrounding us. Amen? God knows what we need, and He will defend and deliver us according to His will. And so the fear of the Lord gives us a secure foundation. A life built on the fear of the Lord is a life built on confidence, security, and divine strength. Proverbs 14:26-27. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn away from the snares of death. When we fear the Lord, we find our foundation becomes immovable. The confidence that comes from fearing God is not false bravado, but it is a deep trust that God is in control and that He will guide us through the uncertainties of life. Isaiah 33:6 further highlights this. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. And the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, is His treasure. In a world that is filled with chaos and insecurity, the fear of the Lord provides stability and strength. So if you want confidence in uncertain times, if you want peace when the world is shaking, then you must fear the Lord. It is the unshakable foundation upon which your faith, your family, and your future must stand. Amen? So how do we restore the fear of the Lord in our lives? If you recognize today that you have lost the fear of the Lord, or perhaps you truly never had it, now is the time to return. We cannot afford to live another day treating God casually or living in compromise. Amen? Revival begins with reverence. And transformation begins with trembling before a holy God. So how do we restore the fear of the Lord in our lives? We repent. We turn away from casual Christianity. And so the first step of reclaiming the fear of the Lord is repentance. We must turn away from our lukewarm faith, from comfortable Christianity, and from treating God as ordinary. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, God declares this, "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." See, repentance is not just about feeling sorry for sin. It is about a heart change, an acknowledgement of where we have taken God lightly and a commitment to change our ways. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 calls us to repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Church, do you want personal revival? Then start with repentance. Humble yourself before God. Acknowledge where you have taken Him for granted and ask Him to restore holy fear within you. To restore God, the fear of God, you must study His Word. Because the more you know Him, the more you revere Him. You cannot fear a God that you do not know. Many have lost reverence for God because they have neglected His Word. How many Bibles are like that at home? If you want to restore the fear of the Lord, you must return to the Scripture. Psalm 119, 120 expresses this holy fear. "My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments." The more we know God through His Word, the more we will fear and revere Him. God's Word is active and alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is through His Word that we understand His holiness, His justice, and His mercy. To restore the fear of the Lord, we must walk in obedience. We must act on what we know. To truly fear the Lord is to walk in obedience to His commands, not just in knowledge, but in action. James 4:17 warns us, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Church, if you know what you're supposed to do and you're not doing it, you're guilty of sin today. This is that sin of omission. How dare we know what we're supposed to do and not do it? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 reminds us, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." A heart that truly reveres God cannot remain idle. And obedience is the natural response to holy fear. Let us not merely acknowledge His truth, but live it out in faithful action. Because obedience is the mark of a life that has been transformed by His holiness and His truth. When we obey, we demonstrate our reverence for Him and show that we trust His wisdom over our own. We must return to the fear of the Lord. And this is not optional, it is foundational. Without it, we have no wisdom, no protection, no divine favor. We must stop treating God as common. We must tremble at His holiness. We must walk in obedience and worship Him in reverence. Psalm 128:1 declares, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways." Do you want to walk in blessing? Do you want to experience revival? Then reclaim the fear of the Lord today. It is the foundation of a godly life. It is the key of wisdom and the doorway to the abundant life that God desires for each and every one of us. Church, this is the moment to decide. If you realize today that you have lost the fear of the Lord, or perhaps you truly never had it, now is the time to humble yourself before Him. Don't leave this moment unchanged. Don't ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Come before the Lord with reverence, bow before Him in repentance, and ask Him to restore to you a holy fear that leads to obedience, wisdom, and blessing. Right? Revival starts here. Revival starts now, and revival starts when we fear the Lord again. So today, will you answer the call? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Your Word teaches us that our fear, our holy and reverent fear of You, is the beginning of all wisdom. Today, some might realize that we have taken You and Your Word and what we're supposed to do too lightly and for granted. And if so, Father, I just ask that You would have the Holy Spirit convict each and every one of us that finds ourselves in that place. That we would humble ourselves before You again with that holy, reverent fear that Your children are to have. We thank You that as Your children, our fear isn't the same as the fear of those who aren't. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your wisdom, and we thank You for Your guidance. And we lift this up in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning,